This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find the life of the believer is to review themselves. We find a famous statement, Umar ibn Khattab, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Bring yourself forth to accountability before you're brought forth to accountability. So Muslim, every day they assess themselves. And for some people it may sound like a childish ritual, as some people may think, but to review yourself at the end of the day, the plus points, the good points, the bad points, the negative things, where we may have erred, made mistakes, that a person thinks that for tomorrow, I'll prepare myself to be a better Muslim, a better individual. And most of us do this in other aspects of our life anyway. When it comes to business transactions or dealings or whatever it may be, we always think at the night, that wasn't right, maybe we need to improve on this. But when it comes to Islam and our ritual practices, sometimes we seem to not pay so much attention towards preparing ourselves to become better individuals. Even though the Quran is full of statements inside, they're encouraging us to better ourselves. And at the same time, warning us about not losing our good deeds. Because we find that after Ramadan that many of us, or some of us, hopefully we hope that only a few of us, lose the good deeds that we carried out in the month of Ramadan. As Allah mentioned at Surah Al-Furqan, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَوْ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We bring forth the actions that they've done and we make it to become like particles of dust blown away on a windy day. Even though this ayah is speaking about non-Muslims and about their perception, but as we know in the science of Ulum al-Quran, al-ibra bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab, the lesson is to be taken from the generality of the words and not from the specifics of revelation. So this verse can equally apply to us Muslims, that whatever we've done in our lives, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَوْ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. The mass amount of action that we do inside our lives, they just become wasted away. And if we become more specific, that in certain conditions that we know for actions to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is awwalan al-ikhlas, is sincerity in the actions that we do. And secondly, al-mutaba'ah, the actions that we do correspond with the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And just to refresh our memory and our iman, evidences from the Quran. First, we find the end of Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th chapter of Quran, verse 110. Whoever hopes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever hopes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that last day, let that individual believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not associate any partners with him subhanahu wa ta'ala and carry out righteous actions. Imam al-Mufassirin Ibn Kathir, inside his tafsir, he mentions that according to this verse, there's two conditions for actions to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is sincerity, and secondly, it conforms with the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam al-Baghawi, another famous mufassir, makes tafsir of a different verse inside the Quran from Surah Al-Mulk. هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. He's the one who created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala death and life to see أيكم أحسن عملا. Who amongst you is going to be the best in actions, the most accurate in actions? And he, Imam al-Baghawi, inside his tafsir, makes exactly the same tafsir as Ibn Kathir. He says أحسن عملا. Allah didn't say أكثر عملا, whoever does the most actions. Allah said, أحسن عملا. And he highlights that in tafsir, ما كان أخلصه وأصوبه. Whatever is pure and whatever is correct. Then he describes himself, what is pure? ما كان خالصا لله سبحانه وتعالى. What is pure is done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which is correct is done according to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So two different mufassirin, two different errors, two different writers, two different verses make exactly the same deduction. And that's what is classified as Ahl Sunnah. It's not one parameter, one time zone, one area. You find that numerous scholars from different eras, different centuries, will all come with the same principles. That's what it means to follow Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's not a certain personality or certain individual. Principles remain. Ulama write principles and people come after them will follow those principles. That's why we don't follow personalities or individuals. That's what it means to follow the text, the Nusus. You're following the principles that laid out those people came before and those who come afterwards. Whoever follows those principles falls into that general bracket. It doesn't mean it has to be a specific individual who says something that has to be the accurate truth. The truth doesn't lie with one individual. It can lie with numerous individuals who follow exactly the same principles and come with the same end result. So this verse, as we mentioned, Surah Al-Furqan, just to give us a backdrop about Surah Al-Furqan, is the 25th chapter of the Quran, a Meccan surah. Because the theme of this surah is highlighting inside our mind the distinction. Tabarakalladhi nazal al-furqana ala abdihi liyakuna lil'alamina nadhira. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent down Al-Furqan. Al-Furqan is one of the names of the Quran amongst the 25 odd names that occur inside the Quran. As Ibn Taymiyyah in his works, Al-Muqaddama fi Usul Tafsir mentions, this is Al-Furqan is one of the names of the Quran, the criterion, the distinction between right and wrong, between Tawheed and Shirk, between good and bad, between that which is pure, that which is impure. That's what the Quran is making that distinction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this book, the Furqan, as a criterion to establish the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell us that which is good and that which our action is going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inside this surah, you find various verses that we're going to mention, which are relevant to today's topic about that criterion of following that which is wholesome and that which is good and staying away from that which is corrupt or take somebody, a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even inside this surah, the individuals say, woe upon me. Woe upon me, I took so-and-so, ittakhadtu fulan khalila, laqad adallani an al-dhikri ba'da idja'ani. Woe upon me, I took such and such individual as a comrade, as a friend, that he misguided me after guidance had come to me. So in Ramadan, we had good friends, good companionships. As soon as Ramadan finishes, we move back to the same crowd, same type of people. So you can only blame your own self. I can only blame my own self because now I'm by default making that choice to now move away from good towards such type of individuals. And most of us, we know what type of crowd these people are. In a hadith that you find, Al-Mu'min la yuldaghu min juhrin wahidin marratain. A believer is never stung from the same hole twice. You know, we get stung from the same hole many, many times. So is there some misunderstanding regarding this hadith? Because the hadith is, Al-Mu'min, the believer is never stung from the hole many times over. So the safest conclusion is that we're not really believers. We may perceive and think we're believers because a real believer doesn't make the same mistake twice. The real believer picks up the mistake and maybe it can happen, but we make those mistakes time and time again that we don't learn as we began from mistakes that we make, how to better ourselves, how to take ourselves away from certain environments. That's why you mentioned that, as we mentioned many times over, that Tawbah isn't just to say, I repent to Allah. It's to physically retract yourself from that sin. From amongst the conditions, Tawbah to be accepted, and yaqli'a anil ma'asiyah. Person physically takes themselves away from that sin is a sign of Tawbah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they return to it, that's a different topic. But that moment in time, they've got that strong recognition in themselves not to return back to that. Is a sign of turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse that we find that the person's actions become null and void, and we pray that doesn't fall upon any of us here tonight, but just that we find that to awaken ourselves, that maybe my friends or people around us who just throw Ramadan behind their backs. So we've split these type of people into three broad categories who approach Ramadan. And this splitting occurs inside the Quran as well. Allah makes various divisions in al-Muslimina, wal-Muslimat, wal-Mu'minina, wal-Mu'minat, Muslim men, Muslim women, believing men, believing women that we find, or whether it's speaking about charity, innama as-sadaqatu lil-fuqara'i wal-masakeen, all these distinctions that Allah makes, these distinctions inside the Quran, different levels of different types of people. So there's nothing wrong in dissecting from the Quran the different levels of different types of categories that exist inside the Quran or outside of the Quran for us to see which category that we fall into and which categories we should avoid what the Quran speaks about. So the first type of people are deceivers. So some of us, we might find that very strange. That is there people amongst us who approach the month of Ramadan as deceivers, who are deceptive individuals? And yes, unfortunately, they are. As you mentioned many times over that, if a person makes an intention at the beginning of Ramadan just to be a good Muslim, and as soon as Ramadan is over, they return back to their normal way of life, whatever haram, whatever they're doing, then that's what a deceiver is. And many of the fuqah have discussed such type of individual who makes what's known as a double intention, فَصِيَامُهُ بَاطِلٌ, that that person's fasting is invalidated. They've wasted 29, 30 days of life. We're not speaking about an average Muslim, all of us, that will sin, will err, will make mistakes. We're speaking about somebody who specifically, inside their heart and their mind, says, I know it's 29, 30 days of fasting. But during these 29, 30 days of fasting, I'm not going to, may Allah forbid, take drugs, fornicate, commit adultery, drink alcohol, do haram, whatever it may be. I'm not going to do that. Conscious decision is inside their mind that I'm going to avoid it. But at the same time, conscious decision is inside their mind that as soon as it's over, I'll go back to my normal lifestyle. Don't be deceived. There's people who do make that intention. And a strange thing is that they complete 29, 30 days of staying away from the haram, which is a sign that they can stay away from it. Because psychologists have spoken that a person who does something for 21 days habitually, it becomes normal practice. So if you can avoid something for 21 odd days, you can break that habit. You know, people speak about chain smoking, whatever it may be. You can break the habit because you already stayed away from it. The sad thing is that we find lines of people on the walls of the masjid, what are they doing? They're just smoking cigarettes or smoking, we speak about other things. So it shows that they don't really understand what Ramadan is. That if they made that real intention within themselves, they'll be able to break these bad habits and become better individuals closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that those individuals who are these deceiving individuals that we find, Allah mentions once again inside Surah Furqan, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ مَا لِهَذَا وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. The messenger say, what is the matter? Oh my Lord, what is the matter with these people? They have abandoned the Qur'an. Read what Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi speaks about, what is based upon his verse, what is abandoning of the Qur'an? So all is abandoning the Qur'an, the recite the Qur'an, the reading the Qur'an, the study the Qur'an that many people doing during the month of Ramadan. What happens after it? People go down from what they used to read from the Qur'an. At least one juz we mentioned goes down to barely reading the Qur'an. There's some people just don't read the Qur'an until the following Ramadan. Ulama mentioned that's a sign, and we're not judging any individual, that a person's fasting hasn't really impacted them. That the daily fasting, reading the Qur'an, now they begin to wither away, or the good actions begin to wither away, is a sign that they haven't really strengthened their iman during this blessed month in Ramadan. Another place inside the Qur'an, Allah mentions, verse 101 of Surah Al-Baqarah, كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Some people throw the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind their backs, كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, as if they don't know. What does that mean? Once again, people say, oh, we're speaking about Al-Yahud because that's what the main theme of Surah Al-Baqarah is. No, we fail to understand that the Qur'an is speaking to us, speaking to me, speaking to you. Never ever approach the Qur'an that is speaking about Al-Lahiqeen, Al-Sabiqeen. Don't approach the Qur'an in that mindset. Approach the Qur'an is speaking to me. It's addressing me. It's telling me what to do. That's when you're going to benefit from the Qur'an. That's when Allah mentions at the beginning of the Qur'an, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. Then Allah mentions that these are the actions that we do. Allah never said establish the prayer and give zakah first. He mentions the unseen because the more stronger your belief in the unseen is, the more easy it's going to be for you to do the actions. If you just do the rituals, anybody can do rituals. Anybody can copy them. And even a strange thing, I came across someone who was saying that when they were offering the prayer, everyone thought that they're praying. They were praying to the devil. They were praying to shaitan. So they were bowing, they were prostrating, they were doing sujood. So on face value, you could think this person's praying. But their intention and their mind was they're bowing down to the devil. So it wasn't even a statue there. It wasn't something that was visible in front of them, but inside their heart, their mind. So no one knows what a person is praying to except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why you're bowing, why you're prostrating. So these rituals, they don't really mean much. That if the heart isn't focused, or even a hadith speaks about a person, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلْ بِهِ, whoever doesn't leave false speech and action via it, Allah has no need for you to abstain from food and drink. Allah doesn't need it. You just wasted your time. You just earned a ta'ab, fatigue, tiredness, 29, 30 days of praying and fasting, and you never benefited your own self. Because Allah mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will never change the condition of a people until they don't change their own condition. We need to understand that principles change. Something's not going to happen, that the world's going to just flip over. It's going to go into a new dimension. That's not how it's going to operate towards the end of times. There's a process that has to take place. So if we believe that somebody's just going to come and just change it all over, that's not true. The suffering that we're facing, it sounds very harsh, is what we've done with our own hands. Allah says inside Surah Rum, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعد الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Look how strange the Quran is. Allah said that fasad, corruption, has appeared upon the land and the oceans because what you sent forth with your own hands. We can even take that literally. The destruction of the ozone layer is by what man sends forth with his own hands. The oil that's spilled in the oceans. What we do with our own hands. And then the vices and the sins that we carry out on the face of this earth. And so that we may taste the fruits of our own labor. And then Allah then also mentions لَعَلَّمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, that we may then repent back. When we see this corruption on the earth, there's a wisdom behind it, that people then begin to repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, why don't they repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَدُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Don't you see that once in a year, twice in a year, trials, calamities, difficulties, obstacles that happen to you inside your life, for what purpose? That you may then repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you may reflect upon that. So all this is a reflection. That's what life is. Life is a reflection, to see, to judge and assess our own selves. That's why even on the day of judgment, that you find it will be said, اقرأ كتابك, read your own book. It's not going to be said, someone else read my record. It's going to be said to myself, read your own book. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. You as yourself stand as a witness over your own self. That all of us are witnesses, we're all adults, we're all mature enough, that all of us, our own record will speak for itself. That, and we'll testify, this is what I carried out inside my life. And the only way to change that record is by making change. As Allah mentions, that even once again, we mentioned the whole theme is in Surah Al-Furqan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that those individuals who make a change towards from bad to good, what does Allah do to those individuals? فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِمْ حَسَنَاتِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah changed their bad deeds into good deeds. That's what happens when we try to make that change towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that numerous verses inside the Quran, as we mentioned, about people not respecting the Quran or holding fast to the Quran, or as we find today's nitpicking inside the Quran. Most people know what's halal and haram. Many people come in and ask us imam questions, then they start challenging us, start saying, but what the evidence is this, the Quran says that. You may as well not ask us. You know, if you have a prelude, a pretext inside your mind, or you have what's known as today as fatwa shopping, you know, we know riba is haram. You know, if you said, I know it's haram, you know, that's it. You know, it's a sin, I'm involved in it, I'm trying to come out of it, or a person is doing something haram inside their life. But when a person tries to justify it, tries to then make ta'wil al-nusus, try to interpret the text to justify what they're doing, this is a form of kufr. This is a form of disbelief. And just to help us to understand, if a person, a person who commits adultery, commits fornication, and they admit that it's wrong, but lust, desires, temptations overcome the person, he's a sinful person. A person who never ever commits it inside their life, but says, what's wrong with people doing it? See no harm in it. It's a free environment, free society. People free to practice whatever they want to practice. This person can become a kafir. See the difference? One is a sinner and acknowledges their weakness. One doesn't do the action, but says, what's wrong with it? Because this person is now challenging God. This person is challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَّا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ لَطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Allah's laid down rules, parameters, regulations. And he's trying to challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should this punishment be there? Or why is this a sin? Why is this a vice? You know, this concept that we're living in the 21st century, so why is it a sin today? You know, as a side point, most of the sins that we practice today are the same sins that existed at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Music, singing, women, fornication, adultery, cheating, lying, robbery, fraud. Read the seerah of the Quraysh. There's no difference. It's just a time zone. The same vices that exist. People say, oh, we're living in some difficult times at the moment. Quraysh was surrounded by that. They lived in that environment, and they were far worse than some of the things that they'd done. Read some of the life of some of the companions, the type of life that had notorious individuals that they were. When people said that maybe about Umar al-Khattab, that rather his donkey will become a Muslim before he becomes a donkey. That's what they said about Umar al-Khattab. And what happened to Umar al-Khattab? Such a staunch individual, yet you find when the ayat of Quran, the impact. Read the beginning of Surah Taha, the 20th chapter of Quran until verse number 14. As Imam Bayhaqi in his works of Dala'il al-Nubuwa mentions, all the way until to the verse Taha, ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن تشقى إلى قوله سبحانه وتعالى إنني أن الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. These are the verses that penetrated the heart and the mind of Umar al-Khattab, who went to kill the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And that's what the approach of Islam should be. That it can change anybody's heart and mind. That if they focus inside their lives and they hear the Quran, the right message of the Quran, it will change individuals and bring people close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather than us making ta'wilat, making excuses, well, we live in the modern world, we should be blunt. But this is what we believe in. Obviously, it's good manners, good etiquette, good behavior. This is what we believe in. This is what our principles are and what we try to follow inside our life. So these individuals, the Quran begins by speaking about the deceivers. Allah mentions, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. So strange is, Quran begins by highlighting, speaking about 11, 12 verses about al-munafiqun. Have we ever sat down and thought about, why is the Quran beginning by speaking about the hypocrites? Why is it a page or so about the hypocrites? 4 verses about believers, 2 verses about the disbelievers, then 11 or 12 verses speaking about hypocrites. Why is the dimension of the Quran in such a manner? Why hypocrites? Because to give us a warning, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that we think we can trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who believe. Always trying to find a way out regarding Islam. We don't want to practice it really inside our lives. So Allah begins by warning us about that. فِي قُلُوبِ مَرَضٌ, and inside their hearts is a sickness. A sickness of, here we find doubts, shubuhat. That's why you find there's 2 forms that enter into the heart of the individual. One is shubuhat, one is shahawat. Either one of them they enter, they will destroy the heart of the individual. If both enter, then the heart is a totally dead heart. So half of the people, their doubts, shubuhat come into their heart or into their mind about belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in the last day, about destiny, al-qadr that we find, other things that Allah may have mentioned, halal, haram inside the Quran, they try to question them and doubts begin to spring in their mind until they begin to waver in their faith. Or the other way is shahawat. And Allah speaks about both of these. Here in the beginning, Allah mentions, fi qulubi maradun, talking about doubts about the aqidah, their belief. Another place in the Quran, inside Surah Al-Ahzab, فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Allah says about the believing women, أُمَّهَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the mothers of the believers, that say, وَقُلْنَا, say a good word, a blunt word, speak bluntly towards, speak to the person of opposite gender. For what purpose? فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Lest that person in their heart is a sickness. Does sickness here mean doubt in beliefs? No. Marad huna bima'na shahawat, lust, desires. Lest you speak in an alluring manner to the person of the opposite gender, it arises temptations within their heart. That's the language of Quran. It's a very unique language the Quran has, the way it approaches certain things. That is important to understand the language of the Quran, the intent of the Quran, what the Quran is teaching us and telling us to do, because it tackles all these issues that we all face inside our life. And likewise, classical works of tafsir, they speak about many things, but because we don't understand the language of Quran, we're not able to access it. Just to go to a tangent, we find Surah Luqman, the 31st chapter of Quran, verse number 6. What does Allah mention? وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There's people who purchase vulgar speech, vain speech, to derail people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do classical works of tafsir speak about? What is it referring to? Music and whatever is linked to it. Imam Suyuti, inside his tafsir, Dur al-Manthur, he mentions that the person came and they hired out singing girls. And they said, go and play the musical instruments, go and dance in front of them, pour the wine, get them drunk, keep them away from the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Same concept exists today. How to derail the mass of people away? So when people speak about, oh, the Quran doesn't speak about the issues that we face at the moment, ulama tafsir don't speak about them, the problem is that we don't understand the language. We can't access what classical ulama have spoken about, those things that will deaden the heart, those things that will destroy us and derail us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these individuals who are known, as we mentioned, the deceiving individuals, a sickness inside their heart. Allah mentioned, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plot and they plan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. That some of us, we plot and we plan that whatever vice, whatever sins we want to do. Surah Yusuf is a point in case. The brethren decide that we're going to harm Yusuf alayhi salam. And I'm sure most of us are familiar with the story. But what concerns us, look at the mantik, the logic of the brothers. They said, وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. And after this, we're going to become righteous people. How many young Muslims, that's their mindset today. I'll do whatever I'm doing, live my life what I'm doing. You know, when I get to your age, 50 years old, I've lived life, then maybe I'll retire and stop what I'm doing. You know, when I've had enough of life, you know, I'm sick and doing it, then I'll repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, for most people, that life never comes. That never comes for them. Who have the aspiration that I'll carry on doing what I'm doing in my life, and some moment in my life, I'll then repent and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For many of them, it doesn't come. Not that we wish that upon them, but it's a reality that you see it. That those people had that aspiration that sometime later inside my life, I'll repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially those involved in severe vices, severe sins. إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا الآخرة. Those who love to spread vice inside society, they love it. They thrive upon that. You know, once again, there's two different types of sinners. A person has a personal sin. It's a personal vice that I have. It's my own personal mistake. I'm a human being. And then those who push sins inside society, those who live off those sins inside society. The message inside Surah An-Nur, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةَ, those who love to spread vice, haram things inside society. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Allah says it's going to be a severe punishment for them in this dunya before Al-Akhirah, and then again inside Al-Akhirah. And what do we find inside our Muslim society? The biggest dappers or the biggest drug dealers, whatever it may be, or whom at the moment? Muslims. We should be ashamed of ourselves. We should be ashamed of ourselves that, you know, we shouldn't be boasting about it if we feel proud about it. And even those people who are involved inside these actions, we're going to come to even Ramadan or Eid, how these people, they delve and how they live their lives. It's worrying. That even as we began with non-Muslims, we're speaking about them, that some non-Muslims have a better conduct than some Muslims today. Not to say these Muslims are disbelievers, but it's something to reflect and to think about. That non-Muslims will say, you know, this is haram. This is not what your religion teaches you, that you should be making these practices inside your life. They have to remind us, which is a shame upon us, whereas we should be reminding them of staying away from these vices and these sins that are taking place inside our society. Allah mentions another place in the Quran, inside Surah Ibrahim. وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ وَإِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكْرُهُمْ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. They plot and they plan, and their plotting and planning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even their plotting and planning is to move a mountain away from its place. Meaning some people are so accurate. You know, today there could be a building across the road here, or there's a mountain there. You come back the following week, the mountain's gone. It doesn't exist. The pathways have changed. That's how accurate their plotting and their planning is. That they move mountains out of their place. But that can't be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows what the deception of the eyes are. And Allah knows what the hearts contain. So even look how deep the Quran is. That people may say, okay, to look at maybe the opposite gender, look at someone, you know, no one really knows. But Allah is addressing deep down that Allah knows what the eyes, what the perception of the eyes is. Why the eyes are looking. And what the hearts, what they desire, what they conceal. That's why the concealing of the hearts will only be exposed on the day of judgment, what the heart it contains, whether it really believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or really had that perception towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this concept, Allah mentions that not to become those individuals who sway away to the other path. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Don't become like those individuals who forget Allah. So we do all these actions, then we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. These are the rebellious individuals. And this mizan, as we mentioned from Surah Al-Furqan, we mentioned this criterion between the good and the bad. Allah always makes this equilibrium. أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Are we going to make the criminals like the Muslims? مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. How do you judge? And that's another extremity sometimes find in our society, that we make Muslims like they're so lost, so away from the path. And give non-Muslims more respect over Muslims. Allah says inside the Quran, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Are we going to make Muslims to be like the criminals? مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. How do you judge? Likewise, another place inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions once again that those individuals, أَمْ نَجْعَلِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Are we going to make those people who believe and carry out righteous actions like those, كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, those people who seek corruption upon the land? So Allah's not going to deal with people in the way that we understand inside this dunya. Those who are trying to be good Muslims, there's going to be a due reward for those individuals. Those who are corrupt, those who fall astray, those who do wrong things, those have wrong intentions, Allah will judge them. We're not judging them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge those individuals. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out a sunnah upon this earth. That whatever you're intending, it will eventually come out of the individual. You know, it's a vessel. The heart is a vessel. It needs to express itself. You know, just say that whatever your heart contains, love, emotions, it pours out. That's what the heart is. So eventually it will come out what interest the person holds inside their heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that, الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. Those individuals who take their deed as play and as amusement. وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. And this world has deceived them. فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَاءَ يَوْمِهِمْ هَذَا. We will forget them just like they forgot this meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people who've taken their deen as play and amusement, what does that mean? Look at today, what is Islam? What does everyone speak about? Islam, we need entertainment. It has to be refreshing. We need a substitute. There's no substitute to something which is haram. You need to get that cliche away from our mind that this is haram and have a substitute. That's why you find that from smoking, the substitute is vaping. It's been designed for people who want to come off smoking. But it's become a fad. It's become a craze in our society. The intent behind it is to take away, soften the person who smokes cigarettes. It helps them. It becomes a detox for them to eventually give up smoking. But today, what do we find? It's a big phenomenon inside our society that everybody vapes. You know, if we told everyone to empty out their pockets now, I wouldn't be surprised we get a bucket full of people, may Allah forbid, of vaping inside their pockets. Oh, but Sheikh is only a bit of tutti frutti. And they said, go and have some bubble gum. Go have a drink. Go have a milkshake. Have something sweet. You know, ulama have concluded, medically it's been proven, it's haram. It's dangerous to your health. Medically it's been concluded. Islamically it's concluded. But because maybe it's possibly makruh. You know, we love this word makruh. But look, Islamically, what does the word makruh mean? Makruh means something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises, dislikes, and then likewise the Prophet dislikes that action. That's enough for you to reflect. You don't need me to come and preach to you, someone to preach to you. If we're just a basic Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this action. It's repulsive in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet doesn't like that action as well. That's enough. There's a person to think inside their life that I need to try my best to avoid this. Like I said, we all have weaknesses. We're not here to pick on people, expose people's sins. We're here to encourage ourselves that this is something which isn't good. It's detrimental to my iman, to my health. That's why I study the Sharia when it says, it's based upon maqasid the Sharia, 5 intents of the Islamic law. Place anything, find any single thing and place it inside these 5 elements. Hifdul deen, al-ibd, wal-mal, wal-nafs. That's what it is. To preserve your mind, your body, your intellect, your property, your honor, your dignity, your deen. Take anything that's halal and place it inside these 5 points. It's beneficial for your wealth, your property, your nafs, your soul, your iman, your faith, your family, your lineage, everything. Take anything that's haram. What's the repercussions of smoking, of drugs, of alcohol? What are the repercussions? They're there. That this is what it does to people, how it damages a person. So all the proof is that this is something that we need to try to avoid inside our lives. Unlike in today's world, you find it crazy. Look all around our area at the moment. How many shops do we have, these vape shops we have inside our community? You know, these masjids should be at the forefront of clamping down upon these things. Not that we have people think they're Muslim entrepreneurs, businessmen, you know, thinking, yeah, I'm going to open up a vape shop. You know, how much money are you going to earn out of that anyway, realistically? Or are you just trying to spread vice inside society? And then how many of us that we aid this? That we go to such type of environments where people go to these shisha lounges, they sit hours on end, music playing, smoking shisha, smoking the hubble bubble, the pipe, or whatever, maybe the hookah, sitting there speaking about world politics, speaking about this, speaking about that. You know, I was in Morocco a few years ago and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, so we were going to Fajr and people had been sitting there from Isha all the way until Fajr. They hadn't prayed their Fajr and they're discussing the whole world. No wonder the Muslim world is in a state. Because that's what we do. That's all life is. And same thing with today at the moment. That these vices, they live around us. We don't really bother about them. We don't care about them. Everybody just becomes a habitual thing. You know, now we find that smoking and even taking of drugs, it's a common practice. It's every man. It's a layman's activity now. Every other person, it's a common practice for them to smoke this skunk, this marijuana. Even look at the name, skunk. And how is that even attractive? You know, read up the meaning, what skunk means. But you find that it's a common practice. When we was growing up, it was very rare. It was very rare. Only a few people spoke this trash, this rubbish. And they were ostracized inside society. Now it becomes, this is what happens with the weakness of our iman and our faith and not engaged inside society. That every other Muslim youth, they're dibble and dabble in drugs. There's a common practice for them. Or their mindset is that that's what they want to be inside their life. The biggest player, the biggest don, the biggest drug dealer, the biggest warlord, whatever it may be. It's all rubbish. What does it get for you? What does it get for you inside your life? Read the history of the last few years. How many people have been shot down, gunned down, even by the police? You know, people like that, oh, they're innocent people. They didn't have nothing on them. Read between the lines. Most of them carrying weapons with them. loaded weapons inside their cars. You know, a normal person, I don't carry a gun in my car. Which sane person carries a gun inside their car? You only carry a gun in your car because you know you've either got beef with people outside there or you know there's going to be issues. So you have to keep a peace with you to keep peace within your own self. But if you're not involved in these things, you don't have to worry about it. But this is how many, as they say, you live by the gun, you die by the gun. That's what it is. That's why many of our young youth look at their lives, how they're passing away, especially on the day of Eid. That's why I touched on the day of Eid. What happens? Most of these people on the night of Eid, they're planning their haram. That's what we call deceivers. They're planning what I'm going to do on the day of Eid. And it puts us to shame as Muslims. How we come out on the streets, how we behave, how we conduct ourselves, the things that we're doing. It makes us, you know, makes us shameful inside society. That is this what our religion, our faith is? Is this what 29, 30 days done? And this Ramadan, it was worse because we had it going on in Ramadan. We had people fighting and all sorts taking place outside the masjid. This is supposed to be Ramadan, where the shayateen, the devils are supposed to be chained up. So what's the answer to this hadith that the devils are chained up? Some ulama said, it doesn't mean physically all devils are chained up, but there's going to be devils of human beings. Shayateen al-jinni wal-ins, there's devils of human beings, that they're devils. They're devils in disguise walking around upon the face of this earth, and they carrying out their vice upon the face of this earth. And the second thing, common thing inside a society is free mixing. Even in Islamic events and gatherings that we find, we just think it's a common practice. You know, in the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, there's a reason why they never had barriers or certain things were in place because of the nature of the buildings. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say that wait there until the women folk have left the salah. And when they used to come to the masjid, it was like black crows with black garments upon them. And they would walk as close to the walls as well that the dust and the dirt of the walls would come on their garments. And no one could recognize the women. It's not a fashion show. You don't come to a masjid as a fashion show. You don't come there in beautification. Even those ulama who allowed the unveiling of the face, read the works of the fuqaha. They said if the face resembles beauty or the woman beautifies herself, she should cover her face. So even when you use the words, the lenient scholars who have that leniency, they still write that if she's got makeup on her face, then she has to cover her face. She goes out to society. But what do we find? And when we talk about out on the streets, we're talking about in the masjids, that people are coming dressed in this manner inside the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a house of purity, a house of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a place of fitna. So if at that time some of the companions were arguing whether women should come to the masjid or not, that's 1400 years ago. Imagine if some of them were alive today. Do you think they would allow women to come to the masjid? If 1400 years ago, they're debating and saying that, no, we shouldn't allow them to come because they're not conducting themselves appropriately. Imam Qurtubi inside his tafsir, Surah Al-Ahzab, read the ayat. Some people may not want to listen to us. Tell our women, read Surah An-Nur. Read Surah An-Nisa, the 4th chapter of Quran. Read Surah An-Nur, the 24th chapter of Quran. Read Surah Al-Ahzab. Read these surahs of the Quran. What does Allah say? Not what we say. Allah says inside Surah Al-Ahzab, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. Remain inside your homes and don't come out like the times of Jahiliyyah. Imam Qurtubi inside his tafsir, he mentions that they wear the hijab with the earlobe showing and the top of the neck showing. That's a hijab of Jahiliyyah. That's hijab of what? Jahiliyyah. That's hijab of what? Modernity. The 21st century. There's just a scarf on the top of your head. Your earlobes are showing. Your neck is showing. That's hijab. Who said that's hijab? Which faqih said that's hijab? So that's what Mufassirin have written time ago about how these people will conduct themselves. We need to take lessons from that. Remain inside your homes. You come out for a need that exists for a person, not to come out inside society and flaunt your beauty and show your beauty inside society. That's not the way of the believing women. As the Quran tells us, this is the way that they need to conduct themselves. This leads on to what? Vices inside society, promiscuity, lewdness, wickedness, bad conduct, bad behavior, breakdown of the society. That's what it leads to, that we don't nip it in the bud and teach ourselves and our family members. This is what the etiquettes of the Quran tell us to live in throughout our lives. Not that Eid, the day of Eid becomes a fashion parade, a fashion show inside our society, that we do stop this display that we find inside that's taking place around us. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا ثُمَّ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا. That's what these people are. First they believe, then they commit kufr, then they believe the kufr, ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا kufr, and they increase in kufr. What does that mean? That's when we're in the masjid, we're believers. When we come out, we're a chameleon, we change colours. We come back in the masjid again, we're believers. Come back again with something else. You know, people know how to change their colours. They know how to speak to each individual accordingly. So in an Islamic gathering, then it'll be all the Islamic texts, all Islamic quotes and everything. When they come outside, then it's something else. That's not change. That's not change. Change is that you're trying your best to shake off all these previous practices. The second type of people you find is people who show off about Ramadan. Once again, we might find that strange. Are there people who show off about Ramadan? Yes, there are. People who boast, look, I fasted 29, 30 days. You know, I've done this, I've done that. You know, we should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq to do certain actions. Just like we heard inside the Salat al-Maghrib. يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمِنُوا لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Don't destroy your good deeds بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى by continuously mentioning them and harming someone. So if you do somebody something good, you don't keep on mentioning it to them. So even if you do a good deed, you try your best. كِتْمَان الْحَسَنَات. Just like we try to conceal our bad deeds, we conceal our good deeds. The only time a person reveals a good deed is possibly to encourage somebody else. Other than that, person tries to conceal their good deeds just like they conceal their bad deeds. So a person shouldn't show off about the actions that they've done. We find this common in society. We find when young people speak to another person the way, maybe, you know, your beard's not long enough, you know, your trousers are a bit dragging down, you know, you don't have a thobe on today. Why are you wearing Nike for? Why you got these trainers? Why are you shopping there? Why are you having a milkshake for? Why are you doing that for? You know, what is that? But you can see in the words. You can see in the tone of the words and what it is. It's trying to have a go at the person. Trying to belittle. But that's what we become. We just become a display. You know, in 2-3 months, we just want to see these 3-4 codifications of a person's life. And that's what symbolizes a good Muslim. That's not what symbolizes a good Muslim. That's not what symbolizes a good Muslim. Get that through to your mind. That's not symbolizes a good Muslim. Because you know what? In 2-3 months, anybody could do that. Anyone could just go and grow their beard in 2 months. You know, that's why it's a fashion today. People don't shave. They don't bother. That's it. Just go and buy a thobe. Just go now down the shop, buy a thobe, wear that, wear a topi and walk around. That's it. I'm a religious person. Is that what a religious person is? Yes, there's essence of truth that these are certain things we have to do. I'm not mocking it. Somebody may try to twist my words now. That's not what my intent is. But we've made that's the only thing. If that's the thing that displays only what Islam is, then we've misunderstood what Islam is. That we're not focused upon the internal development of ourselves. You know, amongst the practicing Muslims, the most difficult problems are the social problems amongst practicing Muslims. Within their homes, within their family unit, with their family members, with their siblings, with their brothers, with their sisters, with their wife, with their children. And they're supposed to be practicing Muslims. You know, as Imams, we don't want to deal with this. There's cases of people battering their wife with a baseball bat. He's in the Fajr first row. You'd think he's an angel. You think he's an angel, but he batters his wife with a baseball bat when he goes home. But he looks the part, doesn't he? Or he goes home and he takes crack and cocaine. But he looks the part, doesn't he? So it's not about looking the part. You know, these are social issues for many years of experience of living amongst our people that we need to take out these social problems and stop falling into the trap of just a certain display of certain things, that this is what Islam is. The real reformation of changing ourselves inside, within ourselves, what we find. So they're showing off or making other Muslims look down. The other Muslims, you're not equal to the state. I mean, where was I a few months ago then? Where was I? What was I doing then? That all of a sudden I've become some form of controller over the rest of society around me to judge what other people were doing. A few months ago, I was a scum lying on the streets. Now for the next response, now I'm supposed to be some great angelic form telling people what to do inside their lives. You know, this isn't just off the top of my mind. I've been in the wudu area. I've seen a person who's been Muslim for 3 months. He's making wudu and he's busy backbiting back the imam, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's this, that, and the other. And he's saying to him, you know, I've just been a Muslim for 3 months. And I'm sitting there thinking, imam's been there for 30 odd years being the imam. You have the audacity, you know, you don't even know how to perform wudu properly, to sit there back chat about the imam. Is that what we're teaching the people? All right, the imam may have a problem, but he's been an imam for 30 years. He's been praying 30 years of his life. You're telling me Allah's going to waste that? Yeah, you're judging that Allah's going to waste that? Okay, let's say, for example, argument's sake. Person does some innovation inside their life. There's some element of innovation. Okay, that may be null and void. Does that now make everything else about their life null and void? Who are we to become judgmental about other people? That we judge other individuals, where they're going to, what's going to happen. Because these are, once again, sicknesses inside our society. And we don't speak about them openly, then what's going to happen? It's going to become common practice. Everybody, wherever you go, that's what they talk about. Even in Ramadan, what do people talk about? Don't go to that masjid, that imam's like this. Don't go there. Don't pray there. Don't do that. Don't listen to this person. Don't listen to that. But that's your Ramadan gone wasted. How much Quran did you read? Maybe one juz. That's what you spent your Ramadan doing? How much Quran did you listen to? Not much. How much trash did you listen to? A lot of it. That's us Muslims. And then we want to speak about what impact Ramadan had in inside our lives. Also, Allah mentioned about this concept of, we think we're doing a great favor. قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. We think that us becoming good Muslims, we're doing a great service to Islam. The end of Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah warns us. Don't think you're doing a good service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be thanking. بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنَ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Right, it's the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to this, that we're able to carry out these righteous actions by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third type of people are the people who benefit from Ramadan. We find in the hadith, as-salah ila as-salah, wal-jum'atu ila al-jum'a, wa Ramadan ila Ramadan, kaffaratun lima baynahunna. One prayer to another prayer, one jum'a to another jum'a, one Ramadan to another Ramadan is an expiation for whatever sins took place between the two, as long as the person stays away from major sins, because they need physical tawbah for a person to remove them. But what does this hadith mean? Sheikh Uthaymeen Rahmatullah, in the explanation of the hadith, he mentions a modern interpretation that the impact of one salah takes you to the following salah. So when you leave one salah, you go back to your work, your family, whatever you're doing, you know, iman doesn't remain the same. It doesn't remain the same. You're busy doing what you're doing. The call of prayer comes, so it refreshes your iman again. You come to Yawmul Jum'ah, you hear the maw'idah, you hear the admonition, you hear the khutbah. That iman takes you all the way to the following Yawmul Khamis, Thursday, and this Jum'ah, your iman is lifted once again. And the impact of Ramadan, 29, 30 days of fasting, doesn't end on the first of Shawwal. The impact of that goes all the way until the following Sha'ban. Sha'ban is just finishing, it enters the Ramadan. That's a modern day interpretation as Shaykh Uthaymeen Rahmatullah has given this hadith. The impact of one prayer to another prayer, the impact of one Jum'ah to another Jum'ah, one Ramadan to another Ramadan. So if some of us, Ramadan, as soon as Ramadan is over, we're just straight back into what we're doing before. May Allah forbid, that's a clear sign about we haven't benefited from Ramadan. So benefit those individuals, those who feel a changed person. No one's going to be 110%, but you feel that inside your heart. You know, alhamdulillah, I feel I'm a better person. I'm more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, the journey, it continues coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We could all see that. If we look at when we're 15, 16 years old, reading our salah, and we look at 50 years old, there's a clear distinction. Not in the format of the prayer. There's a clear distinction in what? In the maturity of the mind and understanding. So no one can say that when I was 15, my level of khushu and focus is like now when I'm 55. There must have been some saint at the age of 15. Your mind matures. Your thoughts mature. So that's what, that all of us, we feel close at this moment. So another Ramadan, we feel even more closer. Another Ramadan, even more closer. The journey continues in coming closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Asawm Junnah is a shield. It's a protection. A protection from the hellfire in the hereafter. And a protection inside this dunya that is shields us and gives us the ability to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we began with the concept of muhasabah, accountability, all of us can sit down and say, where did I fall short inside this month of Ramadan? The prayers, did I miss? May Allah forbid, did I miss any prayers? Or did I miss any prayers in congregation? Praying in jama'ah, trying my best. So now for next Ramadan, I can begin now to think, now plan ahead. That some people may not have had time off work. You know, for holiday, everyone plans 5 years, 10 years ahead, puts money away for their holiday for life, whatever. You know, like non-Muslims like to do that, put 50p a week away, whatever. So when they go age of 70, 80, they make this lifetime holiday. All right, we might joke about it, but the concept is true. They've got a vision that at this age, I want to be there. Why not? Why can't we have that same vision? Everybody comes and asks a question, oh, they don't let me pray at work. They don't let me have time of Ramadan. You don't need to speak about Ramadan. You can book your holidays in advance, 5 years in advance. You can see in the calendar that, may Allah give us all a long life, that Ramadan in the year 2026 is going to be in this month, in February. Book your holidays now. What's stopping you? Why do you leave it to the night before Ramadan and say, oh, my bloody boss, kafir, this, that, and the other? It's your own fault. Nothing's preventing you. But when you want to go on holiday, you want to do something, it's all in place, isn't it? It's all been booked, all organized. But when it, as we began with, but for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave it to the last minute. So maybe in the last minute, you know, the doors of Jannah might slowly open. I'll just squeeze my way in. If you do, alhamdulillah, may Allah make that happen to all of us. We squeeze in somewhere, isn't it? But don't rely upon that. Because that's not sunnah Allah. That's not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala fil ardi, wala fis sama, in the heavens, on the earth. There's a natural sunnah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid that we need to try to do in the inside our lives. So likewise, you find the fasting, the control, just like we control our stomachs and our private parts, etc. Now outside of Ramadan, are we controlling ourselves? And that's what many ulama speak about. The real fasting is fasting of the faculties. Sawmul Ayn, Sawmul Udhun, Sawmul Rijal, Sawmul Yad, fasting of the eyes, the hands, the feet. That we find this is real fasting there is. You know, the other day I was on the train and I just looked and there was maybe one or two people reading a book. Every single person, these, what do you call it, pods inside their ears, swiping, music, this, that, and the other. You just sit there, it's like a zombie. No one talks, no one looks, no one engages. A dead society. That's all the world has become. That's it, all the, everything, that's all the world is. You know, so this is faculties. You know, people spend all day long listening to music. All day long, and you know, especially when it's going to be the winter days, you know, the fast people will get up at 12, 1 o'clock. Some people sleep all the way until 4 o'clock. That's what some people are looking forward to Ramadan in the winter days. Go sleep all the way to just 3:55, get up, brush your teeth. Guess what? 3:58, open your fast. Allahu Akbar. What a lovely fast. You know, this is the reality of people. That's what it is. Many of the youth, the day begins what for people? It begins at Fajr time. Even this Qiyamul Layl, people going Qiyamul Layl, don't get up in the morning for Fajr or don't get up for Dhuhr or whatever, feeling so tired, so fatigued. You know, the prayer is one prayer. Whether you pray Salatul Tarawih, you pray Tahajjud or Qiyamul Layl, they're all one prayer, different names. They're not three separate prayers. If you pray straight after Isha, it's called Salatul Tarawih. If you pray it slightly later on, it's called Tahajjud. You pray it later and closer to Fajr time, it becomes Qiyamul Layl. Any one of them you pray, it's fine. If you pray Isha with the Imam, you pray Fajr with the Imam, it's written as if you prayed all night. So rather than rushing to get to Qiyamul Layl or get somewhere, make sure you prayed your Isha in Jama'ah and make sure you prayed your Fajr in Jama'ah. Because this is another fad as well that we find going from one reciter to another reciter, one masjid. No disrespect to any of the Imams or others. They're just doing their job. They're just caring what they're doing. It's we're the problem. Even a lot of the social problems around us, people like to have a dig at the Imam. Oh, the Imam was at this event, he was there. They're not to blame for the external things that take place. There's only so much we can do. We're not Islamic police to go outside and physically. Obviously, when I was younger, I used to do that. I was able to do that. Nowadays, people just say, who are you? You know, get out of my face. So you just have to walk away. You know, but before it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. You say to a Muslim youth that, why are you doing? Why are you doing this? They'll feel ashamed. And I don't want to sound derogatory. I find that more and more non-Muslims, when I face them, they have a lot more respect about the tenets of Islam than some of us Muslims that we do inside our lives. And that's, as I mentioned, becomes worrying for us. Likewise, Quran, in conclusion, how much Quran did we read? How much Quran do we read out that we feel that we focus towards the Quran? Even if you stutter, you find it difficult, don't give up. A person who stutters and reads the Quran will have two rewards given to them. So try your best to read the Quran, especially this blessed month of Ramadan and during the year to build up. So when you come to next Ramadan, you become more fluent in reading the Quran. So that's these three broad categories that we spoke upon. They're mentioned inside the Quran. Inside Surah Fatir, Allah mentioned, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ وَالْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. So Allah mentions that we spoke about categories inside the Quran. Allah mentions, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ. They're those people who oppress their own selves. So we began with the first category is people who are the deceivers. Those people deceiving themselves, those the hypocrites, etc. They find, they're ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ. They're only oppressing their own selves. That's what they're doing. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. Those who are in the middle part. That's many of us. Sometimes doing good deeds, sometimes doing bad deeds, sometimes here, wherever the wind blows. But we're trying. That's the key element, that we're always trying. Because you know, إِنَّ النَّفْسْ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. You know the soul? Inside Surah Yusuf, Allah mentioned it, is always calling. The nafs is calling towards that which is evil at times. And especially a person surrounded by evil, it becomes easy to do evil. As just as we began with, if you're in that environment, it's easy to do evil because you're already in that environment. If you're not inside that environment, it becomes hard for you to fall into evil. When you place yourself inside that environment, how many young boys that I know who just say to me, you know, in today's language, you know, Sheikh, I just coach with these people. They're just my friends. I move about with them. I don't do anything. And next minute, they're the big daddy on the road. And I was cleaning their nose with a tissue when it was when a young boy. The same person saying that I don't do these things. I just move about with them. Birds of a feather flock together. So be careful of who your friends are. Because real friends don't want you to go down that path. They don't want you to go down that path. A person, most people, they, when they see somebody going, when I was growing up, if somebody older than you saw you, would say to your older brother, you know what, I saw you, Mr. Khan, I saw you walking with so-and-so on the street. My big brother would give me a clip round the head. Today we find big brother sits with his brother, smokes drugs together, do haram together, do all sorts of things together. They think it's honorable. And we should be ashamed of ourselves. Worried about our society, worried about our people, what's taking place amongst ourselves. So these are the deceivers. The second people, al-Muslimun, sometimes here, sometimes there. At least we're trying inside our lives. And the third category we find, the muttaqun. Sabiqun bil khairat, always trying to do good deeds, trying to better themselves. That's why whoever makes that change to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing prevents anyone from reaching that level of muttaqun. Don't think there's some special attire, some special weird, some special dhikr, some special dress sense. Nothing prevents. Ibn Taymiyyah mentions that kullu muttaqi huwa waliyullah. Every person who's pious is a friend of Allah. Just as we heard in Maghrib, Allah waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is a friend of every single believer. Takes him out the realms of darknesses and brings him to the nur. So if you make that conscious effort inside your heart, your mind, that Allah, I want to come to the nur, to the light, Allah won't fail you. Allah will guide you towards that light. Will take you away. That's why on the opposite side, there's so many young people that you find, they haven't seen these things inside their life. We should be happy about that as well. They haven't seen this. Read the seerah of the Prophet, it's inspiration. And on one or two occasions in life, the ulama of seerah write that he just wanted to see what the Quraysh were doing. So from the mountain, he just came down just to see what they're doing. As he's coming down the mountain, some ulama of seerah, they don't accept authenticity, but just to encourage us, because others have reported and mentioned our works of seerah, he fell asleep. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him even from seeing what the Quraysh were doing. And that's what we want our youth to be. We don't want them to be seeing this haram or having this perception of seeing haram is seeing what's on the other side and then changing inside our lives. No, we want them to stay as far as possible. So that's why the masjid should become a conducive environment of strengthening our iman, strengthening our conviction towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Quran, as we mentioned, the whole concept of Ramadan, يَا يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That's the message of Ramadan, that you may become pious individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to find the quest and the search to become those pious individuals. Any deficiencies we had during the blessed month of Ramadan, to change those deficiencies into positive traits inside our life, to change them over into good deeds. Give us inspiration and a mindset to better ourselves in preparation for the following Ramadan. As many of the Salaf used to pray that, oh Allah, get us to the following Ramadan. And when they reach that Ramadan, oh Allah, accept it from us. So now we're praying that, oh Allah, get us to the following Ramadan. Ramadan adida, many Ramadans over, that we're able to better ourselves, become good individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place these words in a mizan of hasanat, accept it from all of us. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi wa lakum wa li jamil muslimin fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. We stop for...